This is
the
Second
Story
Podcast.
Welcome back to the Second Story Podcast. I'm Max Spitz. This week, I'm excited to bring you a story that is, in many ways, a direct representation of the work we here at Second Story do. In this story, teller Lexi Saunders shares just one particular example of the impact that both educators and artists can have on a student. The show this story came from was part of our Point of View series, where we assemble a creative team that shares an experience or identity. This show was curated, written, and performed by a group of educators. I hope you enjoy this look at the incredible work and effect that educators and artists like Lexi can have on their students. Recorded live at Haymarket Pub and Brewery in Chicago in October 2023, Second Story is proud to present An Important Part.
I grab my mom's hand and squeeze it. She's sitting in the metal folding chair pushed up next to me in this packed, sweaty auditorium because my middle school's production of Into the Woods Junior is somehow sold out. As a sixth grader, this is my first time seeing a school play. I watch as the most popular dude in eighth grade runs around at the stage as Jack, pretending to climb his beanstalk, aka the dusty-ass stage curtain, with some other rando kid on all fours dressed like a cow, and I have never seen anything this cool. I lean over and whisper, "Mom, I wanna do this." Some parents tell their kids, "You can be anything you wanna be when you grow up." Well, my mom had a caveat. From as young as I can remember, Mom always told us, "You can be anything you wanna be, as long as you're helping others." So my little self was like, okay, cool, I'm into that. We have a laminated second grade art project up in our house where I had to draw what I want to be when I grow up. I drew a car mechanic. How we didn't know I was gay then, I'll never know. I was dead set on being anything but a teacher. See, I come from a long, wide line of educators, both my parents, grandma, multiple aunts, many cousins and second cousins. I wanted to do my own thing, and it seemed like a lot of paperwork. See, my mom taught special education, seventh and eighth grade, for 40 years. Absolutely. Yes, she is a modern day saint. Some of my earliest memories were helping her grade homework or watching her write IEPs at the dinner table or at the beach or at the pool. But she loved her job and her students. I'd hear her say every year after her girls' trip, "I may not make as much money as my friends, but I always have the best stories." Back in the sweaty middle school auditorium, my mind is getting blown. I had done giant musicals when I was younger with hundreds of other kids on stage, starring as Munchkin number 56, Beauty School Dropout number 79. But this is different. This is up close and intimate, and everyone has an important part. I want an important part. So that fall, I auditioned for the next school play, Alice in Wonderland. I want Alice. I look at the cast list and the caterpillar? Are you kidding me? And I'm splitting the role with Rebecca frickin' Dwyer, who's way cooler than me, and everybody laughs every time she does the "who are you" part and blows her stupid bubble wand. This would be the first in a string of many times that I would come to learn, surprisingly slowly, that I was not born to be an ingenue. This would be cemented by my future roles, including but not limited to the ugly stepmother, Lord Pee-Pee, think Lord Farquaad from Shrek, the old Jewish woman, the old British woman, Betty Paris, the one in the crucible who sleeps half the play and the other half screams. You get it. Turns out, it wasn't the part that made me feel important. Being part of an ensemble did. And my middle school theater teacher, Miss Abby, did. Yes, she threatened to cancel every single show on every single day of tech, but she saw a creative vision and leadership in me. She introduced me to devised theater, theater camp, theater competitions. I transformed from an extremely shy child to a teenager who loved the spotlight. Theater's where I found my voice and where I got to bear witness to other voices. But was I helping people? Was I living by my mom's mantra? Does theater help people? After busting my ass in college, double majoring in theater and psychology, I still felt too guilty and unsure about only doing theater. My viewpoints acting professor Kim, a middle-aged woman with wild curly red hair, looked deeply into my eyes after a long class of pretending to be seaweed and said, "Lexi, I think you might be a director and you might love Chicago." 3 years later, I'm standing in a rehearsal room in Chicago, surrounded by a dozen preteens and art supplies everywhere. We're devising a play about gender set at a school for superhero kids, and today they get to design costumes for the characters they're creating. Everyone has an important part. As I watch Cullen draw the cape onto his character Super Speed, whose superpower is super speed, I suddenly look up in quiet panic. Oh God, wait, is this teaching? Ew, am I kind of teaching? Am I breaking my own rule? I'm loving working with these kids, but I don't want to give up my own artistic dreams. Isn't this the same career I've been trying to avoid for, I don't know, my entire life? I'd soon find out though, that Chicago has this cool thing called teaching artists. Working professional artists hired by theaters to teach residencies in schools and community settings. I now teach acting and playwriting to middle and high school students all over the city. It's the perfect loophole. I don't have to be a teacher. I can still pursue my own dreams and be in service of others. But sometimes I still wonder, can theater make a difference? Or more importantly, does it actually? It's 2018, and I'm standing in front of a 10th grade sociology class at Von Steuben High School in Albany Park. It's the first day of our week-long theater residency centered around the professional production they'll come to see. I can tell there's some awkward tension in the air, but that's pretty typical anyway, so I finish my intro. So, we'll spend a week exploring themes and scenes from the play, and then on the last day, you'll come see the play and get to meet the actors afterward. Most faces seem excited, some hesitant, but almost every student keeps darting their eyes to one particular classmate sitting in the front row. "So, Miss," a kid in the back speaks up. "You said this play is about a transgender person? Because Paulina is hella homophobic and transphobic." A lot of eyes get big, smiles crack, and every head in the class nods dramatically, except for one. Other voices chime in. "Yeah, she's racist too. Yeah, for real. She does not understand safe space." My whole queer body tightens. The student that I now know is Paulina leans back and shrugs. "I just don't agree with that lifestyle." Before I can even blink, multiple students hop in. "Ew, Paulina, it's not a lifestyle. We just did a whole ass unit on how it's an identity, not a choice, dumbass." "Hey," I cut in. "I'm going to ask that we stick to our group agreement about keeping an open mind with the play and with each other. Can we do that?" 3 days later, we're all standing in a circle. They're bursting to share the identity poems they've just written, all with their own version of the title, "What It's Like to Be A," for those of you who aren't. An activity I had confidently suggested as the only LGBTQ+ teaching artist on our staff now feels like a nervous experiment. We hear poem after beautiful poem. What it's like to be a Black kid in Chicago. What it's like to be the oldest daughter in a Muslim family. What it's like to be short. Then it's Paulina's turn. What it's like to be Polish, for those of you who aren't. What follows is what can only be described as a white supremacist manifesto, victimizing herself and her family's bigotry, being persecuted for their God-given beliefs, how hard it is to be white, and thank God for this president, it's nails on chalkboard. Eye rolls, sighs, and groans from the rest of the class. We let them respond afterward, and they are honest, but a lot kinder than I expected, a lot kinder than I wanted to be. We spoke about empathy and privilege, but the bell rings before I can really tell if Paulina is absorbing it. On the day of the performance, I sit where I can watch Paulina from across the theater. My other co-teaching artists sit near her in case she needs shushing or escorting out. We have seen it all at these student matinees, and we are ready for anything. But she doesn't talk, or distract, or laugh, or roll her eyes, or anything. She watches intently as this queer and trans story unfolds, and I occasionally catch her watching the other students in the audience too. She bears witness. The play ends and some students give a standing ovation. She looks around and then stands up too, clapping and smiling, no way. During the talkback, she's one of the first students to raise her hand. My team makes quick eye contact before an actor unknowingly calls on her. Nervous laughs and whispers ripple through the audience as her classmates brace for impact. She grabs the mic. So, I've never really seen a play, not like on a smaller stage like this, where it's like right in front of me, like close up. And that was really good. And I really felt for the characters. Like, I would have never thought I would have like empathy or whatever for a transgender person. Like, I guess I used to be kind of homophobic. Other voices rang out immediately. Used to be, Paulina, you say wild shit every day. I know. She smiles. And then her voice cracks. I think I was wrong. Like, trans people are hella real, and that sucks they had to go through that, and now I get it more. And I just want to say I'm sorry to my class. I know I can be pretty close-minded, and this opened up my mind a lot. The audience erupts. Ah, okay, Paulina. Laughs and more applause than even for the play itself. Change takes time. But that week, that moment, it happened right there in front of our eyes. Mom is right. Teachers do always have the best stories. Sometimes the change is hard to see. Sometimes it doesn't always feel like helping. Will my students even remember playing Pass the Clap in their third period English class 10 years from now? Or pretending to be seaweed or superheroes in the midst of all of this? I don't know. But that day, as we walked the Von Steuben students out of the theater towards the bus, I caught a glimpse as Paulina was taking a selfie with the lead trans actor. And I think all of us had an important part.
This story was produced by Christine Thorin, curated by Julie Ganey, and directed by Liz Rice. Music was by Yongwu, and sound engineering was by Mike Benedict. The Second Story podcast is produced by Max Spitz. To be the first to hear about updates and new episodes, sign up for our podcast listserv at 2ndstory.com/podcast or subscribe to the Second Story podcast on SoundCloud or Apple Podcasts. Second Story is located in the traditional homelands of the Council of the Three Fires, the Odawa, Ojibwe, and Potawatomi Nations. Our programming is made possible by the Arts Work Fund, Walter Foundation, Paul M. Angel Family Foundation, Gaylord and Dorothy Donnelly Foundation, Illinois Arts Council Agency, the Chicago Department of Cultural Affairs and Special Events, Innovation 80, the Field Foundation, the Reva and David Logan Foundation, Modern Compassionate Care, Eric Rothstein and Gina Wamick, Athene Karras and Thomas Applegate, James Lupo, Jessica Wetmore, Hannah and George Stowe, and many generous individuals like you. I'm Max Spitz, and this
is
the Second
Story
Podcast.